Hello, everyone. Welcome to Training Grounds. This is a new show that we're doing here at the Gamers Guild, going over various lists between Marvel Crisis Protocol and Star Wars Shatterpoint, where I'll bring on a guest. They're going to present a list that they're going to be doing, and we're going to go over maybe potential tinkering or just general game plans of said lists. My name is Sean, and welcome to the Gamers Guild. All right. So welcome back, everybody. I have with me my boss, Nate. Nate, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. It's always weird for people to say that, but it's always worth a chuckle. So thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So Nate, I know, you know, obviously you're pretty featured on our Marvel Crisis Protocol side. We still haven't got you yet on the Shatterpoint side. Now, we'd love to get you at some point. But
you know what? They have teased my favorite Star Wars character. So like as soon as his card drops, you can get me on and I'll talk all the shop for Thrawn.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait for Thrawn myself personally. For anyone that's maybe tuning in for the first time or if it's been a while, please share some things about yourself, my guy.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am Nate. I have the YouTube channel and stuff for the Gamers Guild. It's not been as active recently because of holidays and stuff, but getting back into that, which is exciting, especially with all this new X-Men content that AMG have been revealing, which provides just all sorts of cool new content possibilities as well. I occasionally hop on the podcasts and talk shop.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know I've been a little absent myself, I know, on our Discord that we have. But now that the holidays are over, kind of getting back into the swing of things, you know, we'll be doing that as well. Doing a little bit of revamping, got rid of a couple channels and whatnot and making some new ones. It's exciting stuff coming in 2024. So what list have you brought for this episode? What are you looking to bring?
So it wouldn't be me if I didn't bring some sort of Avengers list is the kind of general idea I feel like. But I wanted to do something that I haven't just already done over on YouTube or something like that. So I went ahead and made a timeline Avengers list. So limiting myself in some ways and also kind of being mindful of what my other two teams might take. So maybe I'm missing some key pieces that you might otherwise see. But still fun to go through the exercise of building a list with those extra restrictions.
Absolutely. And yes, your list that we'll go over here momentarily is very, very cool in what you have going so far that I see. And timeline was a great way to start, in my opinion, too. It's a new kind of challenge. I know a lot of people are still kind of figuring out like what to do with it. I know I've been hearing murmurs of other tournaments and whatnot that people want to try out outside of what's going on with Adepticon that we have coming up. So it's really exciting, and I hope to see more events outside of Adepticon using this 2024 timeline.
Yeah, absolutely, especially ones that aren't necessarily trying to encapsulate the, bring three different rosters, just, hey, this is a different format and all that stuff. I know that's something I think you're maybe kicking off over the summer.
We are, yeah. The first weekend of June is what we're looking at right now. So we're wanting to do just a nice little one day, like four-round event, and it's just bring a single roster using the 2024 timeline rules.
I'm all for it. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I hope to have you here.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and do something on this show. We're going to go over kind of a color grade where we're just going to kind of judge between a green, yellow, orange, or red of what the guest is looking for and to get out of this list. If it's something more of like a narrative list, a little more casual, maybe some slight synergies, a high power list where you have a little bit more of those synergies where you start to get out of those casual lists and something you can maybe even take to a tournament, or just red, hard red of just like this is as best competitive we can make it. So what color grade are you saying this list is going to be today?
I think this is kind of leaning toward that orange high power list where there's a lot of synergy going on and combo stuff. But I'm also aware that this is not the if like I wanted to go and win an event, this is an optimized list, but it's not the most optimized list.
Absolutely. And yeah, I can absolutely agree with that, seeing what we have here. And I think that's a great way to start, especially just like really getting into the nitty gritty and tinkering with these timeline things. There's going to be a lot of, not dead air, I want to say, but just like a lot of like areas that we're not super familiar with since it's so new. So aiming for like a good orange list, and then after getting some games with what we come up with at the end of the show, then maybe even finding even further changes from there.
Yeah,
absolutely. So from there, let's go ahead and go over the list. How about you go ahead and take us away with your character selection?
Yeah, absolutely. So for my characters, if you're doing Avengers in Timeline, you are kind of locked into running Captain America, First Avenger. I normally call him just Mighty Steve, leader from the new Core Box, who has a very aggressively minded leadership that gives you some extra consistency. Then rounding out my Avengers, going down in threat to value order, I guess. I've got Cable in there with him. I think Cable's just, with his tune-up, a really solid five-threat character who plays with the game plan of this roster really well on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Then going down, I've only got one affiliated four with Spider-Woman. And I apparently totally missed that I added She-Hulk to this roster, so she would actually be my first one on the list. But another solid character, and provides an answer to some of the things that you very well may see in timelines that you don't see normally. She's going to be great into like the things like Sentinels. She's solid into like Juggernaut. And so she's kind of more of a counter-picky piece.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, all of my affiliated are just threes. I've got Deadpool, Luke Cage, and Hawkeye. Deadpool is just ridiculously solid now between Steve's leadership and his reroll. He's got a lot of consistency on the attack as well as just consistency on hitting his triggers for the extra bang bang or maybe a stab, and leg day just lets him be mobile enough to always be a threat on the board even if he does get controlled. And he's even limited against what can control him, so just a really solid all-arounder three that pretty much always makes it to the list. And then Luke Cage, Hawkeye play very differently and are probably a little bit more scenario dependent. Luke Cage though gives a bodyguard effect. It's more of a tackle the shooter than get down Mr. President style, as he's got the too dangerous to ignore, but also brings access for Heroes for Hire, which is a ridiculously strong tactics card at keeping the rest of your team well defended.
Yeah.
And Hawkeye, I think, is seeing new life with because his problem is either he doesn't have any consistency engine and he just piles up power for days, and Steve's leader fixes both of that. So he can more consistently get shock out there, as well as have a way to spend all the power that he just kind of accrues over the course of a game.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about your unaffiliated selections?
For the unaffiliateds, I've got Elektra and Crimson Dynamo at four threat. Elektra is just a fantastic assassin, another character that works really well off her reworks, and also just combos well with Steve's leadership. Getting a five die Mystic Pierce could just be devastating to some characters. Crimson Dynamo is kind of the exact opposite of her, where he is there for team defense. He's got a beam that's going to shock people. Again, Steve's leadership helps guarantee that shock even more when you need it. And his defensive rerolls. And then finally, rounding it out, I've got X-23, who pairs really nicely with Deadpool because of a tactic card that we'll talk about here in a little bit.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, that seems to be a very solid start to what we have going on here. Taxis cards, we got, and I'll go ahead and go over those. I'm reading off here, Avengers Assemble. We have Double Agent, and I believe that is Spider-Woman's card.
Yeah.
We have Heroes for Hire, Joint Effort, Mission Objective, No Matter the Cost, Reserve Members, and Second Wind, with your two restricted being Indomitable and Patch Up.
Yep.
Wonderful, wonderful. And then what about your crisis selection here? What do you got?
Yep. So general crisis plan is this is my team where I want stuff clumped up. You've got Cable and Crimson Dynamo to kind of boost that synergy, as well as Luke Cage. So this is for the secures. I've got Gamma, Infinity Formula, and Mayor Fisk, which all are just kind of things where you're either going to pair off on sides or pair up straight down the middle. And there's not as much maneuvering going on in those for big fights. And then for extracts, reinforcing, I've got Research Station, again, just kind of forcing that fight to the middle. Fear Grips the World as Worthy Terrorized Cities, a.k.a. Hammers. More dice, more better when you're an aggressive affiliation.
For sure.
And then Skrulls Infiltrate World Leadership. I've got a bunch of characters who both can punish really hard if my opponent fails on a Skrulls early push, and also plenty of characters that can move up and have four physical defense, so good odds on not being the ones getting shoved around.
Absolutely. So going over this list, and appreciate you listing that off for us, pros and cons from what you see when you were making it, like, do you see, like, obviously you're a brawly list here, as you kind of mentioned that's yourself with your crisis selection. Do you anticipate any particular bad matchups, maybe some anti-synergies you might have?
Yeah, so one matchup that I would kind of hope to avoid are any of those, like, really objective focused teams that are going to make me kind of chase them around the board a little bit more.
Right, something like a Web Warriors.
So, like, yeah, a Web Warriors kind of a thing. Anybody who's bringing D secures that can kind of try to make me rotate between them is going to feel a little bit bad. And teams that love Peta Flips, it's not necessarily a huge disadvantage into that team. It's just one of those things that I know my team doesn't want to do, because we want to be spending the extra power we get on Steve's leadership rather than spending it on objectives around the board.
Right. Absolutely. And that's kind of something I was noticing here too. You are correct in those facts that I can see, especially if it's going into like a Web Warriors, if you will, if they win the prio role, then picking one of their more like wider spread secures and being able to just like kind of run around might be a little bit of an issue for you. But yeah, let's go ahead and dig into this and see what we can maybe like shape up, maybe some of those matchups along with some other things. One thing I wanted to bring up, Captain America, the First Avenger, his leadership. If anyone's not familiar, once per turn during an attack, as long as you have a hit in the roll, you can spend a power and you can modify a die to any result you want. So he's especially good at making sure characters hit triggers. Are you wanting to a list that can like abuse that? Or are you just looking at for just, hey, just kind of get some extra hits, maybe get some triggers here and there. I know you mentioned Deadpool having fantastic synergy with that. Were you wanting to like really lean on that, or is it just kind of a side piece?
Absolutely lean into it. Everybody outside of She-Hulk has some sort of trigger, even just on their builders and gainers, let alone spenders, to get either a status condition off or something out of it extra. So for like X-23, that's Pierce and Bleed. Elektra, you get a Pierce. Deadpool, extra attacks. Crimson Dynamo and Cable hand out conditions. Hawkeye's conditions. Luke Cage can give out a stagger with his builder all of a sudden, a lot more consistently. And Spider-Woman's probably the worst of all of them in the way that my opponent should fear any Spider-Woman activation, because if she gets a spike off, being able to apply stun before damage is dealt is just one of the nastiest thing AMG have casually put into the game.
You are not wrong. Yeah, I've been on the receiving end of getting, and the fact too, like, it's each wild, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like I've had attacks where you're getting like stun shock and you're just like, well, this feels bad.
Yeah, it's a really potent combo. And so it's also really nice for her in particular, because even if you already get one wild, it's like, well, I can go ahead and get a second wild on this one attack, and it's not going to feel wasted, whereas like Hawkeye, a second wild's not going to do anything extra.
Absolutely. Kind of going into those bad matchups as well as we were speaking, Jessica here is fantastic into those matchups because she can actually be a character that can help chase down some of those like fat, like control style matchups. Maybe a character to look at too to help with those control style matchups would maybe be a, also in affiliation pick here, Quicksilver. Like really leans into kind of what Steve is bringing with that leadership on top of bringing A, like great triggers for that, B, being a fast mover, and also C, being another option to bring that tactics card of his as well.
Yeah, that's that is very reasonable. he's a little bit pillow fisted.
Can be.
For a team that otherwise is pretty wanting to hammer an anvil. I'm looking over and I'm not sure who I would drop for him.
That's something good.
Is part of the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Mentioning the She-Hulk here as well, like you kind of like want her there as for that particular counter pick matchups of like Sentinels, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. I do know in timeline Sentinels has been kind of getting a bit of a resurgence, if you will. They've been a little bit popular from my understanding.
Yeah, there's just not as much that can control them and throw them into each other. So it's definitely given them some new life.
Absolutely. On top of that, too, a lot of the major answers for She-Hulk are not existent in this timeline, which is given really like her new life here as well, in that same vein. But she would be like, unless you're like dead set on keeping her, she might be a possibility if you want to go a little bit more wide. Outside of that, I do like Elektra here as well, as you mentioned earlier. Go ahead and pull her up real quick and we'll kind of go over her spread. So Elektra, I know she brings her grunts. She has the wild pierce. Her impale is, you know, thanks to her rework, as you mentioned before, that's actually viable.
Yep. She actually gets what was just her zero cost attack is now a gainer. And thanks to Steve, it's usually gaining two because of her Out for Blood ability. And then Impale, did it used to like cost eight or something?
No, I don't think so, no. But her biggest issue always was the, I think it used to be six, if I remember correctly. But the major thing was her power gain. Her main attack not being a gainer previously was huge. And so she just went off of that, her Out for Blood. It's just way more viable to now get power for her other like reactive superpowers on top of still building enough to maybe get an impale off. So, and also, and even when you get the impale off, you'll get a power back for that too.
Yep.
So that's something to look at, but yeah, no, I think that maybe if she might be something to pick at, but again, as you mentioned too, like a Quicksilver would potentially be stepping away from what you're looking for with this list, right? Like Quicksilver, he has the triggers. Yes, he's a fast mover. Yes, he has a strong tactics card. He's not necessarily great at the attrition game plan with an asterisk of hammers.
Yeah.
I do think he is a exceptionally strong piece having that crisis selection. And since that is in your list, that's also kind of why I brought him up too. Because you can A, have him as like that counter pick against a control matchup to where like, even if you're not on hammers, he'd still be a very strong pick because he can kind of chase down those other pieces. Maybe get play a, can I borrow that? And also do a runaway game plan himself if you need a pivot, which I've always felt that Avengers is very strong at with like that pivot game plan and style. And then on top of that, you can even look at potentially bringing him in those non-control matchups where you are playing on hammers.
Yeah, I think, I think the likelihood of running into webs feels probably higher than running into Sentinels.
Most likely so. And yet I think he's very strong in that matchup. And I don't know, She-Hulk too, it does feel a little bad that she doesn't really synergize with Steve here. However, I do understand wanting to keep her in that roster, just in your back pocket as just this monster, where it's just, and especially on something like maybe like Mayor Fisk, where she is just in the thick of it.
Yeah, but she also doesn't want to be stunned.
Very true. Yeah, she unfortunately she is not immune to it.
So. Help us, AMG. You're our only hope.
Right. She needs a little bit of love for sure. But yeah.
So yeah, I think if there's an addition of Quicksilver, She-Hulk is probably the drop. Mostly just because as you look at timelines and what you're more likely to face, you're probably more likely to take on Webheads than Sentinels.
Indeed, indeed. So we'll go ahead and mark that. And then from there, we got another one I brought up is, and this is more of a kind of like a talk between the two. And I like what your selection was, like in that 5-threat slot with Cable. I'm a big Cable stan, especially with his rework, with like the shotgun effect that he now has, some power adjustments and stamina adjustments. He is living a good life now. For sure. I wanted to bring up Carol, new Carol, specifically, of course.
Yeah.
Cosmic Avenger. So what did you think about her at all? Was there a reason maybe you picked like Cable over her? What was your thought process there?
Yeah, absolutely. So at the end of the day, Carol is wanting to save up her power to do her cool stuff. She wants to kind of hold on to it. That way, once she goes binary, she stays in there longer, and you know, she is saving her power for her binary blast, for her throw, and stuff like that.
Right.
So that's kind of the main thought is you don't want your binary blast suddenly costing you 2 power because then you're draining your resources to do all the other cool stuff that she wants to do.
Yeah, absolutely. She does have like good triggers on her attacks here. Mm-hmm. And like, especially on her normal side, and then you flip her into binary, then oof. Yeah. Like her Warbird, especially, you can get some really sweet triggers on that. That being said though, I can definitely still understand wanting to go over Cable. I think Cable brings a nice, like ranged option. Mm-hmm. Fable, the Incinerate, you are going to be getting way more often than not.
Yeah, between the reroll and Steve's ability and stuff, like at the end of the day, Plasma Rifle could do no damage, but they're still going to be on fire.
Absolutely. So I think I am more on board with you with this process for sure. I was going to bring something else to the table since we're potentially cutting out She-Hulk anyway. The other argument I was going to bring up was if you brought in a Cosmic Avenger, you had a potential pivot to A-Force on the table.
Yeah, also true. I feel like you, because at that point, is Elektra A-Force?
Let's find out.
Because I know Spider-Woman is.
Yes, Spider-Woman. No, she is not. She is only CS and Defenders.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like you would need to make some other strides, and you probably you'd need to slide in Okoye probably.
Right, absolutely.
And
other stuff,
and I feel like that's a deeper restructure than Carol She-Hulk's likely to ever actually get played anyway.
Yep, I definitely agree with that for sure. All right, so moving on from her, we have about a combination, if you will, and I think if you bring one, you really want to bring the other, potentially. Mm-hmm. And that's Wolverine, and Wolverine's favorite buddy, Colossus. Wolverine being in affiliation.
Yep.
Here. So let's go ahead and take a look at, since he got his wonderful glow up. So he has, like, you know, the wild bleeding pierce on the his main attack, which we're now going to be hitting that a lot more often.
Mm-hmm.
On top of he has now like 7 on front, which is he's always had, but now with like 6 on the back, he does become a little bit less objective oriented, as we know, on his backside. But he brings to the table another option for just like him with X-23, and we haven't got to the tactics card yet, but I spot something that's potentially missing in an exceptional healing here.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Indeed. Also, he is immune to stun, which is really good for your Mayor Fisk.
Yeah, also true.
So what do you think about that?
So at the end of the day, I had Wolverine in this roster to start, actually, but after some time with it, I swapped him out for Elektra.
Okay, and what was it, just with testing you've done previously?
Yeah, just messing around with the new leadership and the updated card. It was just kind of this ideal time of like, okay, like, let's see if we can get this to work. I do really like updated Wolverine in Discount Steve's leadership, because you can do some real stupid stuff turn one, and that's always fun.
Right.
But at the end of the day, this Wolverine kind of really needs three power to be online to do either one of the two things he wants to do. That's either do the Berserker Barrage for three power, or do the Best at What I Do with the ability to kind of guarantee at least one wild in your role.
Okay, fair enough.
And so it was just taking too long for him to really get online to be the threat that I wanted him to be in this. And so I opted for Elektra to be that kind of dangerous wild pierce. And she also brought Mystic, which is a nice little poking point for certain teams and defenses.
Absolutely. So using that thought process too, and this is where I think I'm going to, at the end of this conversation, end of like this potential topic here, I will agree with you in the end. So I like Wolverine personally with the combination of Colossus and Fastball Special. I think that combination of characters with that card, and the fact that like Wolverine is a playable piece now, where he was always has been playable, but he was definitely a bit on like the weaker side for a four threat. But Colossus also, in kind of a very similar vein as that, now has a medium move, now has a too dangerous effect over a bodyguard effect, which I think was very powerful for him. I don't know if there's potentially anyone you're trying to like really protect in your list. Like, you're not really playing a like much of a protect the leader, right? With it, Steve being able to add dice on the backside, of course, keeping the classic counting blanks.
Yep, counting blanks. He can even add dice to his Mystic defense now.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have that kind of like obvious vulnerability. And I think if you were to trade Colossus in and take, if you're taking out Elektra for Wolverine, I think you probably take Dynamo out for Colossus.
And that's where my hangup is.
Yeah.
I think Dynamo, especially with your Crisis setups here, Dynamo is a house in most of your matchups. And I actually see him being brought in a probably over 50%, if I'm being very honest.
Yeah, especially if you get my secures, or if we land on Researcher, like he just kind of, he gets thrown into that mix very easily, very quickly.
Absolutely. And like, you know, even though you have like one of them being Infinity Formula, like just having the thought process of it, making it more like a MOBA, right? Where you have two lanes. You just shove him down one of those lanes and he just holds it. He's a complete package when it comes to matches like that.
Yeah, so he synergizes really well. I think there is a list out there that maybe, like, if you need Crimson Dynamo in one of your other timeline rosters, you maybe do that and you make this a dual X-Force Avengers list, because at that point, everybody is either affiliated with X-Force or Avengers.
You actually just took the words right out of my mouth.
So there's definitely some potential for that kind of stuff. I think that personally might knock this down to a little bit more of a kind of casual looking, yet somewhere between that yellow and orange.
Right.
Level of threat, gameplay, whatever. So all that to say, I can totally see it happening. There are synergies and all those things, especially if you go and want to be able to bring Cable and X-Force for certain matchups, because they're going to have some really good chase into Web Warriors and stuff if that's something you're looking for.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, so we'll keep it the way it is. Then I agree with you at the end of all of that. Wolverine kind of stays out. I do think that he really does want that Colossus edition if that's going to happen. And then you, as you mentioned, you have an X-Force pivot if you wanted that. So if anyone listening, that's something up your alley, if that's kind of your play style, something you can absolutely do with a list like this. But we are going to stay clear of that. We're going to stick with the Dynamo Electra game plan. I really do like Electra with Steve and just her new rework in general. Keeping X-23 in here, of course, she's just a powerhouse. Still, correct me if I'm wrong here, the hardest hitting three threat in the game still.
It's between her or Valkyrie, I feel sure. like.
Sure.
They're both monsters that hit far above their weight class.
Yeah. And so
Valkyrie yes. under First Avenger Mighty Steve. That goodness. Is,
yeah. Unfortunately, we can't pick her because of timeline restrictions, but yep. that is maybe a topic for another episode of maybe looking at a Steve First Avenger in like standard timeline.
Her and the Thor make a very good box for a three box league with Mighty Steve.
Yes, for sure they do. All right, so now let's go ahead and take that gander at these tactics cards. So, as we kind of mentioned, so I right off the bat, and before we bring up the one I kind of mentioned earlier, I noticed you have Indomitable over Brace. What is the thought process behind that?
save Brace for Web Warriors.
There you go. Okay, I like that. So yeah, like I guess your other list in here, so you're thinking about like this is just one of the three, right? So you're using
Brace. If I'm trying to build like the perfect Avengers roster, Indomitable comes out for Brace, and Pratchett probably comes out for Sacrifice.
Sure. Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
But those two will be in like the Web Warriors list. So now this list, and I do like patch up in a fighty list like this, because you're going to be in the thick of it. You're going to be scrapping. Your guys will be taking damage.
And you have enough durable characters between like Luke Cage, Spider-Woman, and Dynamo and Cable that have these health pools and also some durability with them that like patch up can still be very effective for them.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. So I do like that then. And thank you for that thought process there. So yeah, we mentioned Exceptional Healing. You do have X-23.
And Deadpool. Yeah,
and Deadpool.
That is just a total oversight. It's absolutely something that is supposed to be in there, kick mission objective, give that to Web Warriors or Brotherhood. Exceptional gotcha. Healing is meant for this list.
So Brotherhood, you just mentioned now, Brotherhood was one of your options, kind of backtracking slightly here. Is Quicksilver in your Brotherhood list before we say that's a potential addition here?
I don't think he is. It's been a while since I've looked at it, but I don't think he made the cut for that now.
Okay, cool. So just want to make sure before we're like accidentally stripping someone from your third list that he's still a viable option for what we mentioned in characters. Okay, good. So, all right. Yeah. So we kick mission objective here. We'll put that in one of the other lists. And then we will go ahead and slot in Exceptional Healing here. And then from there, other ones too. So you mentioned, unless if you're using this in another list, and correct me here, is Marked for Death on any of your lists?
It is in my Brotherhood.
It is in Brotherhood. Okay. Because again, going back to that whole talk about worrying of against another Web Warriors or any other kind of control matchups, having access to that Marked for Death, I think you do have a couple, you know, within Hawkeye, Cable, that just seems pretty fantastic against them with those characters. But yeah, if it's already in another list, that is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
So outside of that, so no fastball because we're not going to do that change we mentioned. Are you using Escort to Safety in any one of those lists as well?
I think that's with my Web Warriors.
Web Warriors. That makes sense for sure. So while I am going to go ahead and kind of skim through the rest of that then, because those are the ones I kind of brought to the table, let's go ahead and go over Crisis and So
let me give a quick shout out to one of these cards.
Yeah.
And like there's the obvious synergy of No Matter the Cost with characters that have healing factor like X-23 and Deadpool. Because you spend the health to use the attack and then you regain the health at the end of the turn. And it's just kind of like free power. So there's just kind of good natural synergy there in the first place.
Right.
But under Captain America First Avenger, it's a really gross card with X-23 in particular, because if a character picks up an extract or is holding a secure point on the midline, X-23 is able to move up once and be within range 3, use No Matter the Cost for 2, get a 6 die attack off with a reroll, and she still has the power for Steve's leadership. So you're looking at essentially a 7 dice attack with Pierce.
That is disgusting. I love that.
On the midline. So I managed to do that on a somebody who was playing with Red Skull, and Red Skull went up to the midline, grabbed something, and X-23 did 5 of the 6 health. And then Gamma finished Red Skull off at the end of that round.
Yeah. Well, I'm also glad, outside of just hearing that disgusting play, and I will be making a mental note of that in the future, we also forgot about Can I Borrow That for Quicksilver?
Yeah, he would absolutely want that.
So looking at some of these here, let me ask this, because I haven't played with the card yet myself. Yeah. Joint effort, how has that been?
It is a monster of a card for a character named Crimson Dynamo when you are on these clumped up objectives like Researcher or Gamma.
Love it. Love it. And let me see here. And then the other one, too, I was going to ask you about was Double Agent. How has that been for you? Because I've had some really wonky games with that card in the past.
That card, I've absolutely had times where I look at a turn and I'm like, all right, she has the power to play it. Mm-hmm. But there's not really any optimal reason to try to use it at that point. Because you kind of want her to, if you're looking to get the full value out of the card and get a second activation out of Spiral Woman, she needs to be in a situation where, one, you probably want to activate her first.
Right.
Unless you're just trying to bait a character's activation so that it's wasted so she doesn't get that value. So you're also kind of wanting to make sure you have priority. There's a number of factors, but I have had a ton of success playing that on the D secures.
Okay.
Because it allows her to just kind of get around the board and be wherever you need her extract drop to be. One of the grosser things I've done with it is used it with in combination with Extremis and healed 4 over the course of a round.
Mm-hmm.
As she just standing at one point, heals, doesn't attack, moves, glides, doesn't fly, heal again, and then she gets another activation and she can either go to another point somewhere on the board or go back to that same point where those activations are now over and it's kind of safe for her to return. It brings a lot of kind of gross flexibility when the stars align.
Right, absolutely. So let's go ahead and leave that one alone then. The other two that I'm seeing outside of maybe, again, Double Agent, but again, like, we're probably bringing Jessica in all of your D matchups, like secure Ds. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, if you're finding success with that card on those matchups, we want to keep that there.
Yep.
I'm looking at two other ones then. So we have Second Wind, which again, we're Brawly. We heal 1 off of it. We remove the status condition. I mean, that's been like all right here and there for me. What has been your experience with Second Wind?
It is only brought in on Mayor Fist because it gets rid of the stun.
Right. And I kind of had a feeling on that too. So that could be potential, but I mean, you're the one bringing Mayor Fist. So yep. You're going to be seeing it again more often than not, as long as you're getting your secures. So the other one was Reserve Members, which can only be played on X-23, if I'm saying it correctly.
And she's real gross with it, too.
This is fair. You're also going to be that's going to be 2 potential like tactics cards. Now, granted,
Oh, it's three. It's no matter the cost. It's reserve mm-hmm. members, and it's
exceptional healing.
Yeah.
Luckily, exceptional healing can pivot. You know, and same thing with no matter the cost. So if you're bringing both Deadpool and X-23, like you have that.
Yeah, least. There is that flexibility with it.
Right. So what to do then? So what do you feel then? So those are the cards I kind of bring to the table.
Yeah.
We've already cut one for that. Joint effort is crazy. I just wanted to kind of like highlight it. Heroes for Hire is a must with Luke Cage.
Yep.
Shout out to Luke Cage. That is like, he is my favorite three threat in the game, and it warms my heart to see him in your list.
I think probably at the end of the day, the smart cut, because it is a powerful effect, and it's in a completely different kind of matchup situation. It's the weaker, the matchup that I fear is a little bit weaker, is probably you cut the reserve members, because X-23 already has some durability on her. The extra offense is great, but it's not really necessary. Because one extra dice on attack is great. One extra dice on defense is great. But it's only once per turn, so it's not like she's getting her triple attack off and getting an extra dice each of those attacks.
Right. I'm more of a fan of it, too, on the fact of, like, on the defensive end of it. Her getting, like, the extra die for her the defense roll is very strong. But, yeah, I can definitely agree with what you're coming with that, especially now to bringing up the fact of like that is like three cards, you know, asterisks around that, of course, but there's three cards there that she is relying on that you're wanting to bring. You're bringing Avengers Assemble every match, right? Let's be real. And then,
in this roster. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like that means you're only bringing like one of your restricteds. And then there might be other matchups where you're like, oh, well, I have Crimson Dynamo in this list as well. I really want to bring Joint Effort, right?
Yeah.
You start to get that a little bit too much of that overlap.
Yep. So. No, I think that's the one to cut. It's got cute synergy, especially because you have a bunch of leaders in your list with Crimson Dynamo and Cable also being able to proc the ability on it. But I think if for the sake of Quicksilver, who as much as Luke Cage needs his Heroes for Hire, Quicksilver needs his Steel.
Absolutely. And I would be arguing against this change if you had a second three that was still like not affiliated as well. Like if we ended up adding something else, maybe taking a second look down the line, adding another character sign affiliated, then potentially put reserve members back in for like that flexibility between the two.
Yeah.
All right, so now we'll go on to Crisis. So looking at your secures first, Gamma, Infinity, Fisk. What, I guess my biggest question is your success rate on Mayor Fisk. Like how has that been with this roster? Like how much have you played it?
I've not played it very often, mostly because I find my opponents are kind of afraid of me getting my secures.
Sure.
And so the few games that I have gotten in and the times that I have gotten secures, it's ended up being Infinity Formula, which this team really enjoys because it gives them the power generation to really kick into what they want to do. And then Gamma is just, it is the brawl fest that this team is looking for. I haven't got to do too much with Fisk. I think I've pulled it once and the game went fine. It was kind of very similar to Gamma. It was very brawly. Second win cleared a stun for the affiliated members once, which was great. But that's kind of the end of the tales of Fisco. Fisk is the one I would get rid of if you have something that you think does better.
So looking at this, I'm not the biggest fan of, honestly, like a lot of your other options with a list like this. Like I don't, and that's kind of funny, right? Like you don't want the flips, right? Like you don't want like a Deadly Meteors or anything like that. You really don't want, like, you play well on it, but you don't want like Mutant Madmen because you want that extra power for your leadership. You don't want to have to burn that on anything else. You have demons, but you really don't have an option for like a character that's immune to incinerate, you know, and that, again, that'd be like back to the drawing board on your characters. I still think at this point, at least when it comes to your characters, were pretty like tight on everything. I think that you have a very solid package with what your list is trying to do. I mean, and again, too, as even with the change we made, there's an argument to switch it back to how it was. But going, we're just trying to pivot a little bit more to shore up your bad matchups.
Yeah. Another thing I'll shout out for this list is I don't like demons because I have so many characters that have defensive abilities kind of built in that I the more I can improve their defensive capabilities. So whether that's the martial prowess / martial artist with Spider-Woman and Elektra, or just the ability to reduce damage, more and more likely reduce that damage all the way to one on characters like Dynamo and Cage. I don't like the Incinerate.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing to go as a benefit of Fisk, and you can interject here as however you may see fit, because we're in the 2024 timeline stuff, what affiliations want that crisis? Like, are there any leaders or like that can just kind of play around it well?
Not particularly.
Right. That's kind of where my thought process is going, right? Like, normally, you know, you think of like a Kingpin or something like that that really wants to play on that. Kingpin's not in this. He's not an option.
Maybe Hydra for their world domination shenanigans, but like even that I feel is a stretch to some degree.
Yeah, I agree. That would be the only one that you would have to like kind of question if that's going to be a thing. And I think most Hydra lists, because they don't have like their major beater in, and they don't have the turn one play in Red Skull because that, you know, Master of Hydra is not in this timeline. They can't turn one you on it. So, and he's also like their hardest hitting piece too. So, and I think your Brawly pieces are going to be better than their Brawly pieces.
Yeah. Let's see. Does Doc Ock's leadership get rid of stun? No, it gets rid of shock, slow, incinerate. So yeah, right. I'm pretty confident that nobody else really wants to be on Mayor Fisk with me.
Exactly. You don't necessarily love it either, like the stun part that is. But you do have second wind to like lean on to help you, like give you a good swing turn to just like say, hey, I'm not stunned, and you're just gonna fight on it. I love the include personally, especially if you like don't really bring much of any unaffiliateds. You keep it as in affiliation as possible. And you just,
which is pretty easy to do, thankfully, because the only splashes are Elektra and 23.
Yeah. Oh, and Dynamo.
Oh, yeah. And Dynamo.
But yeah. Yeah. So, but, you know, 7 out of your 10 are in affiliation. Yeah. I think you're completely fine with that, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Let's keep in Fisk. I'm a huge fan of Infinity Formula here. Gamma is also fantastic. Do you have any good like character throws in your list for Gamma, or just like ways to get them off of points?
Outside of murder no, outside of murder, there's very little control in this list. She-Hulk
was the piece, right?
Yeah, she can just launch the piece with a superpower. Spider-Woman Spender, if they're already poisoned, can get them off of a point.
Sure.
But otherwise, it is just punch them in the face repeatedly until they're off the point.
Okay. So we're going to be a little dice dependent, but luckily we are playing a list that is pushes that to our advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me see.
Rig those slot machines.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I mean, oh, actually, hold up. Doesn't Steve have a character thrown on attack?
He's got a push, a size push. 3 on his spender.
Well, that's not bad. I mean, that's an option, right? And he'll be in your roster, of course. Yeah, okay. Just something to kind of think about there. But yeah, murder is always a good answer.
Murder is always on the table.
Always on the table. Okay. So we'll keep those secure as how they are. And also, just for the simple fact of like, I really don't see like another great option, if I'm being just completely honest. Like, you have like some C options here with intrusions, but again, that goes back to you don't have to use power to go through them, but you can, and it's not always going to feel great. I also don't know if you really want that higher threat count either. Like, you're fine with it, but like, as you mentioned earlier, your core is most likely going to be like Cap, of course. Well, who'd you mention earlier? Like Deadpool?
Yeah, my usual, if I'm, usually I start like, hey, what's my 10 threat? It's going to be Cap, Deadpool, X-23.
Yeah.
Is kind of the starting line, and then throw another Avenger in and kind of just go from there.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. That is a murder central for sure. And of course, like Gamma always has, you know, you're throwing Dynamo in there. Like, yeah. Let's be real. You're bringing Dynamo.
Absolutely.
King of ease. All right. So looking now at your extracts here, hammers or fear grips, of course, is, I think that's a shoe in, especially now with the addition of Quicksilver, as we mentioned earlier. He loves this one, being like, if you can load him up with as many of those as you can,
The infinite attack chain going.
Yeah. I think that is insanely gross here. He will be a monster, I think, with that going on, especially under Steve, to just help mitigate him hitting those triggers as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Researcher, as mentioned too, same thing. You just want that center brawl. And that just kind of helps guarantee it at this point. And then of course you may have some players that make the mistake of ignoring it, which is just free value for you.
That's just free VPs.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The last one here, I think, is Skrulls. And Skrulls, yeah. Skrulls are going to be interesting. I will say I'm a little less fan of Skrulls with She-Hulk potentially coming out of the list here. I definitely like, especially if you're hitting that 20 threat. But now people might be more inclined to pick 20 and less inclined to pick it if She-Hulk was in the list, mm-hmm. right? And let's say you win it, but you don't get to pick the threat value. If they see She-Hulk in your roster, they're probably not picking 20 threat unless they're displaying something that is absolutely.
Yeah, if they've got it's like Magneto does not care about She-Hulk. Magneto can chew through that pretty quickly. So
yes, like, and
but then again, if you're running Magneto, you want the higher threat for yourself too.
Yes, for sure, for sure. Definitely, Brotherhood is a menace, if you will, in this timeline stuff currently. But you know, I outside of that though, I like Skrulls. You do have quite a few options that are like 4+ when it comes to physical. I know what Luke Cage is one. Of course, your leader is one.
Luke Cage, Hawkeye, Spider Woman, Elektra, Dynamo, Captain America.
All very solid options. Spider-Woman, especially on Skrulls, too. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
No. Other options here, just kind of doing a quick gander. I mean, there's argument for Montesi, but, like, you really don't want that with Steve that much. I understand this Steve counts blanks to Mystics, or, like, sorry, increased dice on Mystic, but that doesn't necessarily mean you want to see Mystic attacks.
Yeah, it's not the team where you want to see Mystic. I've got Montesi with Brotherhood at the moment, so
there you go. That makes complete sense. So yeah, rounding this out. So what do you think at the end of the day? So we made a couple changes of tactics. We actually only changed one character, but we did go over several options. Are you comfortable with the She-Hulk for a Quicksilver change, or do you think you want to, now that talking about it a little bit more, do you think you want to pivot back to the She-Hulk?
No, I think Quicksilver makes sense, especially with his additional steel, him, Spider-Woman, and Steve giving me a little bit more of a control option into those, at least extract control options into Web Warriors, mm-hmm. Will be quite good, especially because at the end of the day, with Web Warriors, you're not necessarily going to be trying to kill them all and win objectives through that. So making sure that they can't take extracts or having an extract advantage over them is really nice.
Absolutely. I will say too, and another caveat there as well, like kind of leaning into like the She-Hulk, into like Sentinels game plan that you mentioned previously, I think your list has enough like oomph, like just like punching power that you can just punch through those robots pretty well anyway.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's she's just like a nail on the coffin in that matchup. But it's kind of like goes back to like an old like Magic term of like a win more mm-hmm. situation where it's like, is that really necessary when you already have a list that's probably going to hold up pretty well into them? I would rather change that out for a piece that shores up a bad matchup for me. Because now you have Spider-Woman, now you have Quicksilver, and so you can actually kind of chase them down a lot better. Mm-hmm. With Mark for Death being in your other roster with Brotherhood, having him as that option to kind of fill that gap, play Can I Borrow That, steal what they're trying to run away with, and just going from there seems fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and we'll do one more recap with the changes. We have characters. We're going with Cable as the 5 here. We now have, you know, Captain America, the First Avenger, the 4 threat as well. Other ones here is Spider-Woman at 4. We have still an affiliation here. We're going to go Deadpool, Luke Cage, Hawkeye, and Quicksilver, with unaffiliation choices being Crimson Dynamo, Elektra, X-23. For tactics cards, we're going to go with Avengers Assemble, Double Agent, Indomitable, Heroes for Hire, Joint Effort. Instead of Mission Objective, we're going with Exceptional Healing. We're keeping No Matter the Cost. We have Patch Up. We have Cut Reserve Members for Can I Borrow That? And last, we have Second Wind with no changes to the Crisis here. So we just have still stuck with Gamma, Infinity Formula, Mayor Fisk, and then Fear Grips, a.k.a. Hammers, Research Station, and Scrolls. That sound correct to you, Nate?
That sounds good to me.
Awesome, man. Well, let me know how it goes. I can't wait to hear your test games. I know you've been beating up Jimmy the Hand over there a little bit, I've heard.
Always.
All right. Well, where Nate, where can we find you?
Over on YouTube, all sorts of videos with just different reviews and general topics about the game as a whole and all that kind of good stuff.
Absolutely. And you can kind of find me in similar situations. I'm in our Discord, of course, Sandbox87 on there. Just reach out to me, feel free. And please comment, shoot me a message. If you like the changes we made, is there anything we missed? Please feel free, reach out. We would love to hear your takes. Anything else? Any closing comments for you, Nate?
No, give it a shot yourselves. I encourage it just at like local game nights and stuff like that. Try the timelines format. Don't worry about the whole 3 roster thing. Just build some rosters and have fun with it. The format itself is a really fun place to re-explore MCP.
It absolutely is. And if you find yourselves close to the Memphis area, we're looking to do one of these timeline events at the beginning of June. More details on that later. Nate, thank you so much. It's been a major pleasure. Highly appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Happy to be on.
All right. Well, my name is Sean, and as always, keep on gaming.